Hey everybody, my name is Austin.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Colton.
And we're three close friends who have a desire to share our lives, experiences, and our pursuit of Christ, all from a biblical perspective.
You're listening to the Exiles Podcast. Let's talk about it.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of the Exiles Podcast. This is one of the co-hosts, Austin, and Jonathan and Colton will not be joining us today. Jonathan is practicing hospitality with some company over at his house, and Colton is dealing with some things at work. And so it's just me today and a guest who so graciously decided to come on last minute. This is actually, I have been wanting to do this interview or discussion, I don't know what you call it, for a while, so I'm pretty excited. But today we have Jay Grisham with us. And for those of you who don't know, Jay is mine and Jonathan's boss. You've heard us mention him a time or two on the podcast. Do you listen to the podcast?
I have listened to the podcast.
Okay, so are you aware that we mention you at all?
I've listened to one podcast and I don't remember being
okay.
In that one.
Okay. Well, it's only good things. So if you don't believe us, you should. Good. You should go listen to the other ones too. If you hear roosters in the background, no one's being betrayed. Everything's good. We're at Jay's house right now, and we're recording this. And so he's got some chickens in the background right outside the window where we're recording. And so that might be an interesting little thing that you hear today. But, you know, I want to be honoring of your time, Jay. And it's been a long day. And we've both been at work all day. And so why don't we just kind of jump in a little bit? If you would, just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, what you do, all that jazz.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on. I love talking about the Lord. I love talking about the goodness of the Lord. And I'm 39 and I live. Can I say where I live on this thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's up to you.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't give them your address.
Thank you for that. I live in Brandon, Mississippi. I own a weed control fertilizer company. And I'm married to a wonderful wife that fears the Lord, loves Jesus. We have six wonderful kids. And I don't know what all you want to know.
Okay, so here's one thing that I love about you and your wife is how y'all came up with the names.
Okay.
Your children.
So, yeah, I love talking about my children's names. So, when we had our first child, Freely Grace, in 2008, we were still fresh coming out of when we were both in college, my wife and I, was when we really just exploded in our understanding of the gospel and were just so excited about it. And we wanted to breathe it in all that we did and live it in all that we did and all the words we spoke. We just wanted Christ to be on all of it. And so, not that people who don't name their children don't, but that was why we did, was because we just wanted it to be on the forefront of our thoughts, and we wanted the opportunity to get to have an open door to talk to people about Freely Grace, about how God's grace is free. It did, you know, there's family names involved there as well, the Freelys.
She told me about that the other day. I had no clue.
Yep. So we tried to, you know, work in family names to honor our family members, fathers, mothers, grandparents, but Freely Grace, justice, because God being a God of justice is a great thing. It's not just a negative thing. It's not just a gruesome thing, but it's actually a great thing. He's the just and the justifier of those who have faith in him. And so he's a God of justice. So we have justice. We have daily mercy, because mercy was something at that time that wrecked my life in a good way. And it's every day. And so we call her daily. We have Walker. People say, oh, well, he got the shaft. But that's because we're to, what does the Lord require of you in Micah? I think it's Micah 6. But to do justly, or to do justice, another translation says, to love mercy, to walk humbly. So you got justice, mercy, and walk humbly with God. And then we have Mary Beckett Pearl, which I know is a little strange, but That's because we had to bring in multiple families. That's because we adopted her, and so her birth mother named her Pearl, and we tried to work with that. And Mary's my mother's family, my mom, my grandmother, and there's other Marys in our family. But time perhaps is evading us. But and then we have Bear because he bears us up in his arms, and there's so many verses about Bear. The Lord bears us up in
not
his
the
arms.
Baby.
Yeah, that's right.
That'd be a strong baby.
So yep. Sorry if I took too long to say that.
No,
but,
I love that story. Yeah. I mean, or not story, but I love that. I mean, it just takes so much thoughtfulness. I mean, and you get to explain that as your kids grow up, and then they get to, what kind of name is Freely? Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you how my dad and my mom. So I think those are just really sweet and thoughtful names. So I'm glad you got to share that.
Yep.
So as many of you know, you hear it in our introduction all the time. We are three close friends who desire to share our lives, experiences, and our pursuit of Christ, all from a biblical perspective. And so one thing that me, Jonathan, and Colton have been discussing here lately is bringing on other people to our podcast and allowing them to share their lives, experiences, and their pursuit of Christ from biblical perspectives as well. And so one of the big motivators to have Jay on is we wanted to bring someone who's not one of the three of us to hear how the Lord is just working in their life or has worked in their life. And so, Jay, I have several questions that I want to ask you.
Okay.
And I think I just want to start first with a foundation.
Okay.
We already know who you are, you know, who your family is, but can you just tell us, like, how did you come to know the Lord?
Yes.
In about 3 minutes.
Okay.
I know that's 3 a.m. testimony.
Yep, I got you. So I grew up going to a Southern Baptist church my whole life, heard about Jesus, was prodded through that to want to know about the Lord and trying to figure out why does he even say he's the only way? Why can't there be other ways? And so, you know, just because I grew up that way didn't automatically make me that way. I still remember always questioning. But to get to the point, the way that the Lord really opened my eyes was when I was in college. I'd been questioning it all the way up until that point of, you know, trying to come to a place of having confidence that God was real, Jesus Christ was real, what he did on the cross was for me and why it had to be for me. And finally in college, the Lord, by his mercy, despite my sin and despite my just pursuing my own selfish gain, put people in my life that helped me to understand that the law was not something for me to, for God to accept me, because as you grow up in church, you do hear a lot of, you need to repent, you need to do what's right, you need to turn from doing what's wrong. But it was finally in college that I got to be around people that just pointed me back to the truth of scripture, of the purpose of the law being to show me that I'm a sinner, that's why I needed Christ, was because I am a sinner. It's not to give me a list of something to do for God to love me. It was something to help me to see why I need forgiveness and why I needed Jesus' death on the cross. And then just people who knew the scriptures and loved the scriptures pointing me to how all these verses that you read just came together in a beautiful way, just to see that it was Christ and only Christ, and it wasn't me trying to be good enough or stop being bad enough. It was Jesus Christ is the one who came to save sinners, as his name says.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think about my own story and how I came to know the Lord, and I grew up in church. My parents were faithful to take me to church, and it wasn't, and I mean, I was in ninth grade, but it's still, you know, 15 years of my life, I had heard the gospel, and I had probably heard it thousands of times, but there was this one moment where I finally realized I have sinned against a holy God, and he has sent his son to save, and I need that salvation. But I can remember thinking back, you know, I'm good, you know, like, what? Like, I'm pretty good. I go to church. I do these different things. But to hear you say, you know, and I affirm that, like, it is only Christ that can say we can't. There's nothing righteous in us to do that. Now, speaking of righteous, well, you and I have had this conversation before. And maybe you were thinking this whenever I sent you the list of questions before. Or maybe you weren't. So I'm going to ask this next question, and I want to see where it kind of goes. So as you've grown in your faith, what is one thing that has impacted you the most in your walk with the Lord?
Yeah, so I get that question about right after work today when I found out I was going to be able to be on this podcast, and I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare, but I did have enough time to realize that I could talk for a really long time about this particular question, because there's so, it's hard to say one thing, but what all my top three answers, because I was able to think of three, they all come down to the Word of God, and the God's Word is what has impacted me the most. So I'll leave it up to you, you know, if we want to circle back to this and elaborate any more on any of these points, but I just want to try to make these three quick points.
Okay.
I don't have anything else prepared, but I just want to try to see if I can remember my three big points here. So one was how the scriptures pointed me to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
They continue to point me to the gospel. In Hebrews 6, it says, therefore, let us not lay again the elementary principles of Christ. It mm-hmm. says something along those lines.
Hebrews 6, absolutely, yeah.
Verse 1. And so I would just remember a point in my life and young adulthood soon after I got out of college of thinking that we're supposed to leave those things. We need to get them good and established, but then we leave them. But what I've grown to learn, and one of the biggest impacts in my life is realizing that we don't leave the gospel,
mm-hmm.
but the Word continues to preach the gospel to me. It continues to help me to know who God is. It helps me to know how to interact with other people, with my family, with neighbors, with employees, with brothers and sisters in the Lord at church. Like, the gospel is never something that we leave. And so the scriptures continually pointing me back to the gospel. If I could say there was one thing, that would be the one thing. But then, you know, another angle of that same answer would be, I don't know if, have you ever heard of the grip, the five finger grip of the scriptures?
I remember you sent it to me a minute ago, and I was wondering where you were going to go with that. So
I'm sure there's a more formal term for that, but it's basically this idea that there's five ways to take in the Word of God. I think it might come from the Navigators, actually, the Navigators ministry. But you, the more you study scripture, read, memorize, hear, and by that I'm talking like being around other believers who teach the scriptures. That's been a major way that I've taken in God's mm-hmm. word, is being around good teaching. And I can't remember the fifth one. So study, read, memorize, meditate. That's really important, to not just
and then hear,
let it go through you, but to really linger on what you memorize, linger on what you study, linger on what you read, linger on what you've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so those five things, and the more, you know, if you do all five, you got a really good grip on the scriptures. If you just do one, you got a one finger grip. If you do two, you got a two finger grip. But mm-hmm. like, that's been a really impactful, helpful realization to me, is to know, because sometimes there's some seasons where memorizing, I'm just not waking up as early, but memorizing during those mornings really helps me to have a way to take in God's word and to meditate on God's word that I don't have whenever I just read.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really helpful to know that God in different places and time would, we don't have enough time to go into all those different things, but there's scriptures that tell us to do those five different things. And then thirdly, I would just say the scriptures that tell us that there's certain concepts within scripture that are more important than others. I don't know what to call them, self-proclaimed verses that proclaim that this idea is supposed to be a bigger idea in your life, because people can go so many directions with the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
If you just tell people to read the Bible, God can use that, and God does use that every day. He saves people that just read it and have no interaction with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also true that it's helpful to have verses. What I do know is the Lord has really impacted my life by verses such as Matthew 22 that says there is such thing as the greatest commandment in the Bible, and it's to love God and love others. And that verse has helped correct me and guide me and direct me to realize, anytime I start reading or hearing or seeing, thinking about things that have to do with loving God, I need to listen up, because that's the greatest commandment. I need to love God, and that needs to be a big focus in my life. And that's really helped me. That's been very impactful in my life to realize there's some things that are more important than others. Matthew 23:23, Jesus says there's weightier matters of the law. He's rebuking the Pharisees because they neglected the weightier matters of the law. Mm. But Jesus said justice, mercy, and faith are weightier matters. That's another reason we named our children that, was because that was a big verse to me then at that time of my life of like, man, I've made my life about so many things for all these years growing up. But like, I need to really be thinking and studying and paying attention to talking about verses that have to do with justice, mm-hmm. mercy, and faith. And there's so many verses like that, that like, and I'm such a literal person that when there's something that literally says this is a bigger deal, that really helps me.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate, I think cause you and I share a very similar personality and like, we're both very black and white. We don't like to live in the gray. And so mm-hmm. I can appreciate someone who just sees the scriptures for what they are. Like there's only one way forward with the obedience mm-hmm. in this passage, you know? Mm-hmm. Now that's not to say that there's not many applications, mm-hmm. you know, there could be many applications, but there's only one way forward in the interpretation of how, what mm-hmm. Jesus meant when he said mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. I think that that's really good. Well, I want to shift a little bit. Okay. And so all these things that you've talked about that impact you, mm-hmm. they're obviously impacting you in how you lead mm-hmm. and how you think through being a boss, how you think through being a business owner. And so, the shift is this: how has scripture and your faith shaped how you view owning and running a business?
Well, I hope that it's shaped everything mm-hmm. because we are called to bring everything. Even it says to bring every thought captive into obedience to Christ. I think it's 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians, but whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, it's all supposed to be to God's glory, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do. So hopefully all of it has been shaped by God's word. But did you say how? Or did you say has it?
How has it?
How
has the scripture?
So it's caused me to want to implement the scriptures and the scriptures specifically, not just like this random set of rules, but like the scripture, the more you read the scriptures and God blesses your reading and understanding, the more you realize it's not just to have us, it's to show God's glory. And mm-hmm. so, and the more you see it, it's like a kid in the candy shop. Like the more a kid enjoys it, the more he's going to talk about it. He's going to go home and tell his other friends about it and his friends and family members about it. But if he didn't enjoy it, guess what? He's not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so, the way that it has is that it, again, I don't know how deeply it, I love talking and I love talking about the Lord. So I could go on any tangent you want me to go on, but it has definitely caused me to want to implement it in every aspect of everything I do.
Well, let's kind of stay on that for a second.
Okay.
One of the things that really turned me on to Weed Wars, because let's be honest, killing weeds for a living is not mm-hmm. the most glamorous work, and it's probably not every little boy's dream, you know?
Yeah.
But I can remember in training, and I don't know if you remember this, but mm-hmm. you created the curriculum, so I would hope you do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to spraying weeds in your first lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the Genesis,
mm-hmm.
and you talk about creation, and mm-hmm. you talk about God's purpose in creation, and mm-hmm. you talk about the fall of man and how what we do is in direct correlation to the fall of man. Like we are in rose bushes. Mm-hmm. Like today I'm pulling out vines mm-hmm. in rose bushes
mm-hmm.
and they have thorns and they mm-hmm. have thistles and these mm-hmm. are part of the curse. Mm-hmm. And I can remember you said this. I know I've heard Ryan say this, mm-hmm. One of our pastors, and Dustin, who's also mm-hmm. one of our pastors as well, say this, mm-hmm. that, you know, what we do is we push back against the curse of sin in a very mm-hmm. small way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all the motivation I needed to say, I can bring glory to God in killing weeds,
mm-hmm.
maybe even for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like,
it's probably the most practical example we even have in scriptures. But yes.
So, you know, I just can say, you know, from my perspective as an employee, it warms my soul to know that when I come into work, there are going to be a lot of people in the world who look at their jobs and they say, how does God influence this? And you have made it your mission as a boss to say, let me show you how God influences our work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just, you know, is there a particular example or someone that you can look back to and say, you know what, that person helped me see this approach of being a boss?
Well, yeah, as you were saying that, one would be Dustin. I remember where I was in my truck one day when he came out because I was spraying his yard. And he came out and just had the biggest smile on his face and said something along the lines of, man, you're getting to push back against the curse. And so that thought right there was part of the evolution of my understanding to realize, like, oh, yeah, even spraying weeds is, it's and just to be super clear, like, the much bigger deal is sin. That's, you know,
oh, absolutely.
We are covered, this, we live in a sin-soaked world, and so I never want to substitute or take away from that, but there are practical things that sin has caused. Sin has caused work to be more difficult now, and so it doesn't matter whether you're a policeman, whether you...
a nurse, a technician,
just
a mechanic.
Fill in the blank with whatever you do. Yeah. It's all more difficult now. And so, you know, on one hand, fighting back against weeds is the specific thing that's mentioned there in Genesis. But I do believe it's touched every type of work that is out there. And so, but yeah, to answer your question, yeah, that was one way that I came to realize that what we do is part, it's a shadow of us pushing back against the curse of sin. We have to fight spiritually to push back against sin that has taken over, but it's also affected, you know, every corner of our human experience, whether it's psychology, sociology, science, every category of science. Every type of job that's out there is now negatively affected. And so, sorry, I feel like I'm
no, you're good.
A resounding gong right now.
Well, no, so we got a few more questions. Yeah. And I really appreciate that. So one of the things that I've talked to Colton a little bit before we came, mm-hmm. and he wanted me to ask this, and I was already thinking about how to ask this question. So to have him affirm that mm-hmm. that was a question that might, maybe there's other people who may want to listen. There are many people who may want to be starting a business, and they may mm-hmm. be believers, mm-hmm. and they may be thinking through the hiring process.
Mm-hmm.
And now for you, one of the things that you made very clear is that our mission statement, and you know, this is not publicized on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that today. But it was something that you mentioned in our training,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that you've put in the forefront mm-hmm. of, you know, of the hiring process.
Mm-hmm.
That we seek to liberate beauty and protect investments, mm-hmm. which is on our trucks, so mm-hmm. that's publicized.
Mm-hmm.
But then you add to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who comes on understands that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, whether it be past, present, or future employees, you're mm-hmm. not going to hire all believers.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, an unbeliever is going to come in on staff.
Mm-hmm.
How do you navigate putting that standard up for someone who may not hold that same standard?
Mm-hmm.
That's a weighty question. So
yeah, no. Well, we've had non-Christians that have worked for me, and I don't know everybody. I haven't talked to each person, so you know, individually about it, and that's not a requirement. I have learned as I've gotten older that as you study the common grace of God, that God does allow society as a whole to function with a form of righteousness, a form of people who are more in theological circles know all the terms for this better than me.
Good.
But just the idea that sin is restrained.
Mm-hmm.
What's that term?
That's a good question.
Okay. So sin is restrained. God keeps, you know, if God took his hand off man, this place would just fall apart. There's a verse that says, you hide your face, we return to dust.
I've heard it described, I don't heard, like, when I've heard, like, the topic of total depravity,
mm-hmm.
I've heard people
that
say...
That would be related for sure.
I've heard people say, you know, when we say total depravity, we're not saying that everybody's as evil as they possibly can be.
Yep,
right?
Yep,
you know,
yep,
so
yep,
go
yep.
ahead.
it's the nature within us. But,
yeah, that's right.
By God's grace. And so anyway, I've just learned to definitely not let that be a filter for hiring, because man, I've met guys who would at least in Christian circles be well respected as mature because of the way they talk about the Lord and memorize scriptures. But I've had guys who don't and who don't know anything, and the Lord's hand on their life, man, they are great workers. So that's not a requirement for being a good worker, first and foremost. But I do want it to be known at my job, at the, you know, towards the people that I employ to work, because I want them to know that on the front end, because I'm going to be talking about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've wrestled with it at first, like, is that even okay? And then as I began to realize, I'm not forcing anybody to believe anything. I'm never requiring anybody to believe anything. And so there's no problem with me stating that that's my desire as a business, is to bring glory to God. As a matter of fact, I want to be very open with that on the front end to make sure, because if somebody does have a problem with that, then, you know, they're in the long run, they're not going to be happy, because yeah, I'm going to talk about the Lord.
You know, when I first came on, I was talking to Jonathan. I said, here's the thing that I've learned quickly about Weed Warriors. If you're an unbeliever, you're either going to be converted or you're going to leave. I don't know. Like, I just, because the gospel is so present, mm-hmm, in our conversations and the Bible. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm, we talk about scripture in our morning meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I mean, most mornings, mm-hmm, I'm not going to say every morning, but most mornings, mm-hmm, the scripture, we're being encouraged by the scriptures. We're talking about the things,
mm-hmm,
of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know, the Lord is going to use this business to harden hearts and soften hearts to, mm-hmm, his word.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten to see that in our, mm-hmm, you know, in some of the employees' lives, and praise the Lord, you know, that,
mm-hmm,
and you know, there's many businesses and people who are Christians who run businesses who, mm-hmm, would say, let's just not, like, let's just, I'd rather create peace. But,
mm-hmm,
I love to see a boss who says, you know what, I'm going to create dividing lines,
mm-hmm,
and we're going to allow the word to do what the word does, mm-hmm, and let the Lord do what the Lord, mm-hmm, will in, mm-hmm, the lives of the people who come in and out of, mm-hmm, this business. And I think that it's just I think that more people should have that approach as believers, yeah, and bosses.
I'll just add on to that. Just, you know, as with all things, there's ditches to fall in. And you can take what we're saying and have thoughts of like, wow, that sounds pretty rough, especially for somebody who's not a believer. And there's Christians who could take what we're saying and feel equipped to just wield the sword with harshness, and, mm-hmm, while there is places in scriptures we see harshness needs to be wielded, I think, you know, as a boss, I definitely see that it's my responsibility to create a work environment that people do feel loved and appreciated and welcome no matter what you believe. And,
yeah,
so I'm not going to be putting people on the spot in the morning meeting of like, this is wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't do that.
But, you know, and that's, anyway, but I do believe that, you know, God is a God of love, and that doesn't mean that it's mushy and you don't ever talk to people, especially in one-on-one conversations, about things that, you know, on one hand, and that's the cool thing about the Lord, is everything that God requires of us, it's actually for our good,
mm-hmm,
and it's for our good in very practical ways too. And so, when you do think of sharing the gospel, talking about God's word with people in the workplace, it's like, this is first and foremost for God and for his glory. But there's also even a practical aspect of like, and this is for their good. This is for their own good at home with their families. And,
mm-hmm,
so I think it's important to just remember in all that though you have all faith to remove mountains but have not love, it profits nothing. Though you have the tongue of angels, it profit without love. If you don't have love, then this language, these beautiful words of scripture that are coming out of your mouth, if it's not with love, then it profits nothing. And though you give all that you have to feed the poor,
to
help people,
yeah.
So in all that you do, like, are you doing it from a heart of love? Mm-hmm. Do it from love. If you love people, it's really good.
Yeah,
that's the second greatest commandment.
And I think that that's exemplified in the work. And I would say this, I haven't felt that anything has been forced.
Yeah.
it all kind of happens organically mm-hmm. because that's how the system has been set up.
Mm-hmm.
I had one question that we're going to have to skip over
okay.
about evangelism and sharing the gospel in the workplace okay. and your thoughts on that. Maybe that's one that we can have you back on and talk about at a later time because okay. I think I just want to hear your thoughts on that. But this is one that
sorry,
I think...
Sorry, everyone.
No.
You're going to have to wait.
Yep. A cliffhanger.
I have nothing to offer special. It's all God's word and his goodness. So.
Amen. Well, I do have one question for you, and I think this is just one that I want to get your opinion for the believer who's listening, who is maybe young or old, and they're wanting to start a business.
Mm.
Okay?
We should have a whole podcast on that, too.
Yes. I'm down. I am. I would love to get you, Matt Flynn, some other guys in.
That would be some really interesting conversation.
I would love to hear just a table talk of that. Okay, here it is. As a believer who owns a business, what is one piece of advice that you would give to young Christians who have a desire to start their own business one day? And then second question with that, how would you encourage them to lead their company? So first one is, what is like one piece of advice that you would give them?
Okay.
And then once they've started it, how would you encourage them to lead the company?
It's not really fair to only let me give one piece of advice, but if I could only give one, I think the overwhelming sense that I get is that so many people have, I don't know if utopian views is the right word, but views about owning a business that are more glamorous than it actually is. And so I would want to sober them to understand that the verse that just rushes to the front of my mind, the things which are lacking cannot be numbered, is what it says in Ecclesiastes 1. And
which is a common use phrase that we work.
And so you just need to understand that the more that you try to do, the more you're going to uncover that needs to be done. And so the more things you try to improve, the more you're going to realize it's not as simple as this simple idea started of like, hey, just go spray the weeds, right? But then the more you learn about how it's not just that simple. By God's grace, he does make this world just mind-blowingly complex and glorious and wonderful the more you get into the details. But praise the Lord, he also makes it super simple to where you can make a lot of progress, but just don't think it's going to be easy. It's going to be fighting against thorns. Even if you're not fighting against literal thorns, it's going to be difficult. And so don't do it because you think it's going to be easier, because it's not. There's a reason everybody doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. It's because there's nothing easy. And I want to say some really, really high percentages, of businesses fail within their first 10 years. If you make it to 10 years, statistics show you're in a much higher bracket chance of succeeding. And the point there is that there's a lot of people that try to start new businesses. And that's because they have this view of like, if I could just do this. There's actually a book called The E-Myth, E, like the letter E, mm-hmm. Myth. It's not a Christian book, but it's got a lot of good things. I definitely would recommend anybody wanting to start a business to go read, because it's this thing that evidently happens over and over and over of people doing technical work for long enough. And they say, hey, I know how to do this. Why don't I just start my own business and be an entrepreneur? I haven't read the whole book from cover to cover. But there were some ideas in there that I think are really good, and there's so many good books. I wish I read more books to help guide that more, but that'd be my one thing.
Okay. Well, what can you answer a little bit clearer? How would you encourage them to lead their business?
And then how to lead it, man. This is a Christian podcast, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. This is Christian.
Absolutely,
So I would...
Absolutely. What... Have you listened?
I just wanted to make sure.
It's very clear that you haven't listened to any of our podcasts.
I know, y'all.
Let's
keep moving forward. So, yes, I would highly, highly commend you to the verse in 1 Corinthians 10 that says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, to do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
That's right. How I would recommend you to lead your business.
To the glory of God.
Yes.
And, I guess, lead your family, live your life, whatever you do.
Eat.
Drink.
Or drink, whatever you do.
All right. Well, it's dinner time, so I'm about to go eat and drink to the glory of God, too. Jay,
good.
Thank you so much for joining us. Do you have anything else you want to add, or are you good?
I'm good, brother.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap things up for us. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Exiles Pod, as well as private messages, any questions you may have or want answered. You can also contact us with your questions by emailing us at theexilespod@gmail.com. We have a new pod every Tuesday. And before you exit off, be sure to leave a review and share this episode with your friends. And until next time, see ya.